So the first reading today is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before the God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look on favour of your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The second reading today is in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law may be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
Thanks again, Aaron, and welcome again, everybody, especially if you're new or you're visiting us this morning. It's so great to have you all here with us. It'd be great if you could please keep your leaflets open at the Bible passage there in Romans 8, or your Bibles open. We'll be referring to those verses as we get into this morning. Well, let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day and for your word to us this morning. And Father, we ask again that you'd help us to hear you and to be changed by you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I haven't said this before, but a very happy Father's Day to everybody. I'll say that because I really do wish you a very happy day today, and today's a day that we especially celebrate God's gift of fatherhood. And fathers, if you think about them, they're very important, aren't they, in giving us life. We wouldn't have life without fathers. And fathers are very important in shaping those lives as well. And so today, we celebrate all of those things. But it's a day, and I want to acknowledge that it can be a day today of mixed emotions. It's a day that's very difficult for those who have challenging relationships with their dads, or vice versa, likewise dads with their children, or for those who've lost their fathers, or maybe don't have a relationship with their father at all. Today's a day where we'll have different emotions, each of us, and it's good for us to be reminded of that and to support each other in all of the different ways that we'll each be experiencing what Father's Day looks like. But perhaps on a day like today that does celebrate God's gift of fatherhood, the best way to start is by thinking about what the Bible says about our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, because the reality is there is one. There is a Heavenly Father. And actually, He's the role model for earthly fathers. He is the role model for earthly fathers, but quite different to any earthly father that's ever been. See, our Heavenly Father is willing to adopt anybody into His family, anybody at all. And it's through that adoption that someone is made to be able to call Him Father. Because you don't normally call someone father unless you're part of their family, right? Well, your natural dad or your stepdad, they're the people that we call family, that we call father, the ones whose families we're a part of. And it works in a similar way with God. We are able to call Him Father, but only once we're adopted into His family. And the miracle is that God extends that invitation to join His family to every single person who will listen. And that reading we had from Romans chapter 8, it describes how it works. Have a look at the first verse there with me. Romans 8 chapter 1. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It says, it has the word condemnation there, doesn't it? In verse 1, it mentions condemnation. Because there is condemnation if you're not able to call God Father. Because the reality is, this is God's world. This is His creation. And I don't need to tell you that this world is full of things that aren't right, hurtful, destructive things. And the reason they happen is because of what the Bible calls sin. You know, sin is when people like us prefer to try and do life on our own terms, thinking we know how to do it best. But you can have a quick look at human history with all of its wars and conflict and bloodshed and brokenness. And you can see that that's not true. That in fact, only God who made His world knows how it should all work. And what the Bible says sin is when we don't listen to Him about that. And so for sin, there is condemnation. It's God's right judgment for ignoring Him, for hurting each other, for damaging His creation. But notice there in verse 1, what it says is that in Jesus, there is now no condemnation. In Jesus, there is no condemnation. And that's the key part in all of this. It's Jesus and how He deals with that condemnation for us so that we can be adopted into God's own family. Now, having said all of that, maybe it seems strange, you know, to read that God's willing to adopt sinful people, that He's willing to adopt us into His family. You know, it'd be like adopting a child that you've had living in your home who used everything that you provided to them, a bed, home-cooked meals, clothing, everything. You know, but they didn't do the obvious things to show gratitude. They just left dishes piling up in their room, or, you know, refused to do any jobs around the house, left their dirty clothes everywhere, walked mud in all over your carpets, never cleaned up after themselves. Maybe they left the bathroom like a public toilet at the MCG after the AFL Grand Final. You know, and while they lived in your house, even though you tried and tried and tried to connect with them, they never made eye contact with you, not once. They ignored everything that you ever asked of them. It would be like adopting someone like that, and you go ahead and you do it anyway. You do what's necessary to adopt them. You fill in the paperwork. You make them your family, include writing them into your will so that they'll inherit what's yours. Now, humanly speaking, I don't know for you, but maybe it's quite unlikely that we would ever adopt someone like that into our own family. But actually, God's offer for us is a bit like that. He does offer to adopt us, even though by nature we are like the child in that example. But his love's so great, he still offers to make us his children so that we can personally call him Father and inherit life forever with him. And it tells us the way that he makes it possible in verse 3. If you look at verse 3 with me, he sent his own son Jesus, who is God the Son. Jesus, who walked the earth a couple of thousand years ago, he allowed himself to be put to death to face judgment, not for his sin. He's the only one who never sinned, but for ours. That's how this adoption's made possible, by accepting Jesus and believing that he did that for you, turning away from sin, turning to him as Lord and Saviour. That's how God's able to forgive our sin, through faith in Jesus and the penalty that he paid on our behalf. We're forgiven. So as it says there in Romans chapter 8, in Jesus there is no condemnation. God can adopt us into his own family, and he can call us his own children and give us the right to call him Father. It'd be good to just pause there and consider that word, Father. See, it represents a relationship that's very personal, doesn't it, Father? It's a connection between two people that can never be broken. You know, like our biological fathers, regardless of the relationship that we may or may not have with them, we can never change the fact they're our biological father. And when you're adopted into God's family, it's a bit like that. He becomes our spiritual father, and that can never be changed. And unlike our earthly fathers, he's perfect. He's perfectly loving, perfectly self-sacrificial, perfectly just. And you see all of that, actually, by the way he brings our adoption about. You see all of that in the sacrifice that Jesus made as he was crucified. It was an act that was perfectly loving. This is God taking divine judgment on himself to spare us from it. It was perfectly self-sacrificial. God doesn't need us, but he endured something unthinkable for us anyway. And it was perfectly just. There must be a consequence for the awfulness of sin. And God endured that consequence on our behalf, meaning justice was done, but at his cost rather than ours. See, when I think of those things, and when I think of our Heavenly Father, it makes me realize just how short as a human father I fall. Now, I can tell you a story. Years ago, this was many years ago now, my son and I had a trailer, quite a heavy one, in the backyard. It got bogged. Couldn't get the car in to pull it out. We had to move it by hand. And it was just so frustrating. We could not get this thing to move. We tried putting timber under the wheels. We tried to pull it out with sheer force. So badly bogged, we had to jack up each side and put things underneath the tyres to try and move it. It was so hard. It took hours. I was so frustrated, not with my son, but with the situation. But it meant I was not loving. My frustration came out in the way I spoke to him. I was rushing what I was doing. He ended up hurting his hand because a trailer and a brick wall do not go well together. You know, I was so far from the perfect father that day. He went in nursing his injury, and I walked past one of these really big solid wheel chocks, you know, that you use to stop caravans moving, and in frustration I kicked it like you would a football, except those things are so heavy they don't move. I spent the next 2 months limping on a damaged foot. It's well deserved. You know, I'm sure you can think of things in your own lives where you or the men you know have been far, sometimes very far from perfect when it comes to being dad. And so I thank God for what Romans 8 tells us. I thank God that while I am far from perfect, I know my son has another father who is. Just like all of us who have faith in the Lord Jesus, we have a heavenly Father who is perfect, who loves us perfectly, who cares about us perfectly, and who through a repentant faith forgives our sins with all our shortfalls and all our weaknesses. And more, he sets to work, he improves us and he grows us. It's described in verse 11. In our faith, we're given the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in us. Now, if you haven't heard that before, it might seem quite odd, but it's true. God gives us his Spirit and through it changes us day by day. See, if you're adopted into God's family, you're called to be more and more like the perfect character of God, to be more and more like our Father, and empowered in that change by the Spirit. You might think of it a bit like a house renovation, right? Like I remember when we lived in Sydney, we had a double garage and we decided we would enclose one half and turn it into a rumpus room. I'd never done that sort of renovation work before, so I took some time off work and I'd watch YouTube videos the night before about what I had to do the next day. You know, how do you put up a stud wall? I'd watch a video on that and do that. And then how do you put up a bit of gyprock and flush it? And so then I did that. Needless to say, it took time, right, before it was going to look like it was going to turn out okay. We had some doubts. You know, is this going to be a nice lounge room or a shed with a bit of carpet? Partway through, my mother-in-law was visiting and I got this sort of new level of encouragement when she opened the door, glanced at my early progress and went, good luck. But it came together in the end. Nice walls, nice lighting, nice carpet. You know, and the work of God's Spirit in us, our own efforts through it, it's a bit like that. We won't be perfected until the end in heaven, but God is still working. He's empowering our own internal renovations bit by bit, day by day. There might be days, like the day I was moving that trailer with my son, where we look at ourselves and go, good luck. But if we're adopted into God's family, then we have no doubt we are being constantly empowered and encouraged to be transformed, morally transformed, by our loving Heavenly Father. As I said, as an earthly father, I'm constantly aware of my shortfalls. It's a great comfort to me to know that my Heavenly Father is doing that renovation in me, that he's forgiven my shortfalls through faith in Jesus, and that I can call him Father, that I'm adopted into his family. See, in that great adoption into God's family, it means exactly that, doesn't it? Like, it means he makes us family. We've been made the children of God. It says that in verse 16. Through faith in Jesus, we are all brothers and sisters. It's worth actually just having a look around at each other. You know, we don't just gather here as a group of disconnected people or even just friends, you know, who have a common interest in a bloke called Jesus. As Chris said before, we are actually family. We each have the same Heavenly Father. And we each have an inheritance in common, as it says in verse 17. It's the inheritance of life with him and actually life with each other. So today when we celebrate God's gift of fatherhood, it's worth reflecting on the gift of his own fatherhood to us and the family that he gives us through that. It has implications, not just for eternity, but for right now. We are family. And so it's right that we would care for each other and care in a way that you would expect a family whose father is perfect would care for each other. You know, to be like fathers and mothers and grandparents and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and grandchildren, to be those things to each other, to everyone around us. See, through the way we're adopted into God's own family, we have those family relationships all around us. Can you imagine what it would be like if we each looked out for somebody or some people here like they were our sons or our daughters or our mothers or our fathers or our grandparents, like they were family? Because that's what we are. Simple things like regularly asking someone how things are going, sending them the odd text message each week about a piece of scripture, letting them know that you're praying for them. Simple things like that, when they're intentional and specific, they are hugely beneficial, not just to them, but actually for all of us. Because as a community, you can't help but grow closer as you learn about each other's lives bit by bit. You can't help but care for each other more and more. You can't help love one another more and more. You can't help looking more and more like a family that's led by a perfect father. See, Father's Day, it's a day to be thankful for God's gift of fatherhood. And it's a day to be reminded of what he offers each one of us, a perfect father and life in his family through the Lord Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're not sure about God or about what it means to be able to call him father, if you've heard something today that sounds like you want to know more, maybe you want some part of that for yourself, I've brought in a bundle of these booklets. They're called Who is Jesus Christ? They're over there by the coffee machine. Please take one. Have a read of it. As I said at the beginning, that's the key part in all of this. It's all about this bloke, Jesus. Don't let Father's Day go by this year without finding out about him. Finding out about the way he makes it possible to be adopted into his own family, God's own family, so that you can call him Father, that you could be given life. Of course, you can always grab me over a cup of coffee and I'll be pleased to tell you more. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of being able to call you Father, to be adopted into your family, forgiven for sin, and brought to you for all eternity. And Father, we thank you for giving us your Spirit and working within us a great work of moral renovation. And we pray that we might live out what you've made us to be, that we would be the children, parents, siblings and family members that you call us to be. We pray this Father's Day for a renewed sense of your forgiveness and a real joy in the relationships that you bring us into with each other. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.